Welcome back to the program, 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line 0457 736 736. He's been a great addition to the 1170 afternoons lineup. His name's RJ Ochoa. He's from Blogging the Boys, SB Nation. He's coming to us live from Texas, and he is very happy with his football team at the moment. G'day, RJ.
G'day, mate. 4-1 feels incredible. 2-0 against the losers in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys. Clearly going to win the Super Bowl. Life is good. One more game before we get to kick our feet up and enjoy the bye week.
You know what? You'll appreciate this, because yesterday we had a discussion on air about, well, where's Lamar Jackson in the top five quarterbacks in the league? And so we were listing our top five quarterbacks. I left out Dak Prescott, all right? Now, I'll get your thoughts on that. But we had a listener who's clearly a Cowboys fan said, hey, 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 Jimmy, you left out Dak, and shame on you. So why don't you give us your top five quarterbacks of the league as it stands?
Well, James, not Jimmy, because this is serious. You can't leave Dak Prescott off your top five. I mean, you know, you could shuffle the order around, you know, however you wanted to, but I think the five guys, I think Dak's certainly in that mix. I would absolutely put Lamar Jackson there. He's so special. Patrick Mahomes is obviously there. Josh Allen, I know he hasn't quite lit it up individually this season, but I'm a firm believer in him. And I would say Aaron Rodgers, you know, in times, but, you know, I think other players are just playing at a higher level, and so I'll put Tom Brady. I'm not leaving him off this list. I'm not going to be the latest person to doubt him. But Aaron Rodgers, an honorable mention, certainly.
Pre-injury, does Russell Wilson get a start there somewhere?
You know, I love Russell. He's for a long time been my favorite non-Cowboy in the NFL. And last season, you know, obviously the start to the year, I think, you know, you'd be a fool not to do it. But Russell does invite a lot of pressure, and that's always been a problem of his. And so I think that when you look at the overall context of their games, I think the others slightly edge him out. I think, you know, we're getting to that place in the NFL where the Prescotts and the Jacksons and the Allens are kind of replacing the guys who have been at the top for so long.
Yeah. What about Lamar Jackson's performance yesterday, our time in that match, especially in the third and fourth quarter? And we've talked about it a lot with you, RJ, about the different manner in which quarterbacks can get it done. That was just phenomenal. Where are we ranking that performance? And does he automatically go into some sort of favoritism for MVP?
You know, I think MVP is so much about narrative. It's not always just about who had the best season. And Lamar has this constant underdog, because there are people who seemingly won't crown him as a top quarterback, or even as a functional quarterback, right? There's still people who think he only runs, who think that's all his game is. But I think last night might have been the best individual performance that any player has had in any game so far this season. It was marvelous.
Wow.
The fact that it was this comeback, that there was this energy to it. I mean, it's very much up there. I think he's the front runner for MVP. I thought Kyler Murray was for a little bit, but he's kind of slowed off just a little bit. I think it's Lamar's world, and if they manage to win on Sunday against the Chargers and kind of announce themselves, that could take the case a little bit further.
Yeah. Fascinating, isn't it? The other big story coming out of the NFL as we were watching yesterday, John Gruden. Everyone thought Urban Meyer first coach sacked. That doesn't look like – oh, it's not the case. John Gruden, what was your take on the Gruden dismissal, and what has been the fallout in amongst NFL media and supporters?
Well, you know, obviously all the reported things in the emails are deplorable. And so, you know, it felt like last weekend, like this had to be done. And obviously, you know, it was close. It was on Friday, you know, here in the States, and they go on to play their game, and it's very clearly this thing that's hanging over them. You know, they barely, you know, even put up 9 points. And yeah, Last night it just kind of felt like, when is this dropping? I mean, this was something that the Raiders had to do, the NFL had to do, somebody had to do. And I think as obvious as it was, it still was really jarring. And I think maybe that was because we were literally watching an NFL game. And so it just kind of had this, you know, you sort of floated out of being to kind of see everything from a 10,000 foot perspective. And so I think, I don't know that anyone is shocked, you know, that it happened given, you know, the information. I just think that it is stunning given the whole arc of his return to the Raiders, the 10-year deal, The fact that, you know, he came out of the booth, I mean, it's this wild story from start to finish. And I think now people, you know, you hate to look away from life and into football, but now it's a matter of where do the Raiders go from here? You know, the Cowboys play the Raiders on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult to kind of get down to brass tacks, but is that an easier win than you might have thought? Is that a win when you thought it was going to be a loss? I mean, you feel for people on a human level first and foremost, but from a functional level, the Raiders just have so much work ahead of them, and it's difficult to see, you know, how they even kind of go day by day. I'll be interested to hear Rich Bisaccia speak tomorrow. Former Cowboys special teams coordinator, by the way, I think the right man for this particularly difficult job.
What now for John Gruden? I'd imagine coaching's out. I'd suspect that broadcasting has been crossed off the list as well. Where to now for John Gruden?
I think, you know, I don't know that we'll hear from him or see him in a long time, if ever again.
Yeah.
You know, earlier this afternoon, about 2 hours ago, it was announced that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are removing him from the Ring of Honor. I'm sure you've seen that. And so as far as the what now, I think it's that trickle-down effect. I think everybody is now looking to purge themselves from John Gruden, distance themselves, separate themselves, and just move on from him. I mean, he's obviously, you know, a Super Bowl winning coach and, you know, was a character in terms of his football persona when he was coaching. But you have to feel like there's more to come. And unfortunately, none of it is very good. You know, it's just an awful situation all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you, RJ. Just before we get into your tip for this week, bad luck for last week, -3 Green Bay, 25-22 against the Bengals. So not a win, not a loss, but not a win on that one. We've been talking here about the growth or the potential opportunities for some of our codes over there and from a betting perspective in the US. And, of course, the legalization of sports betting outside of Nevada has gained a great deal of momentum over the last couple of years. Give us an understanding of the growth of that betting as you're there on the ground in the U.S.
You know, I'll say that I've always been jealous of my Australian friends in this capacity. Certainly you first and foremost among them. And so it's starting to become, I wouldn't say cool or hip or mainstream, but it's definitely more populated. I mean, even, you know, even when you watch the broadcast of games, you know, or not even the broadcast, your standard kind of, you know, daily NFL, not even NFL, but just sports talk show, they're starting to incorporate more betting lines, more over-unders, more spreads. I mean, they're slowly kind of trickling it in, and you're seeing more programming develop specifically towards gambling. And that's, you know, a really welcome idea because the content is really interesting. Obviously, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants to make money, but it is fascinating the way lines work. You know, last year, as an example, the Cowboys opening line against the Rams in their season opener, I think they were 3-point underdogs. And like an hour before kickoff, that swung to like 6 points. And so we were frantically, you know, what's the deal here? Why is this moving so quickly? And so it is becoming more and more and more commonplace. And everybody looks forward to the day where they can pull open, you know, whatever app it is, whether it's, you know, before an NFL game, at halftime of an NBA game, you know, during the Sunday round at the Masters. You know, people are looking forward to that when it's, you know, happening all throughout the country. I know I'm jealous, given that it's not legal yet in the state of Texas.
Yeah, that was funny when I was over visiting in-laws and I couldn't open any of my betting apps over there. But anyway, I was just having a look, you know. What about Dak and the team heading to Foxborough? How do you see the chances? I think they are 6.5-point favourites.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's hard not to feel like they're not going to go get their fifth win in a row. The Cowboys are on their bye after this particular week. And so they've managed to get to this point, you know, without DeMarcus Lawrence, without Michael Gallup, without Lyle Collins. And so, you know, they've beaten some relatively subpar teams like the Eagles and the Giants, but they've won with authority. And so it is Bill Belichick, and you always have to factor that in. And so I think every Cowboys fan is kind of going into this with just a little bit of caution because of his history and his resume. But obviously the Patriots aren't who they've been for most of our entire lives. And so I think this is a game the Cowboys win, and they are the only team in the NFL that is undefeated against the spread so far this season.
Actually, I tell a lie. It's -4. You might like this even more at topsport.com.au, -4 at $1.90. So is that your tip for the listeners this week?
It's not, but again, they are undefeated against the spread. If you want to go that route and get your in-laws a lovely present for letting you crash at their house, I mean, I certainly think that that would be some good advice. You know, my tip, I know we spent some part of the conversation elevating Lamar Jackson. I am, you know, just so in love with the Los Angeles Chargers and everything that they are. They are a 3-point underdog that I have seen. I'm curious what they are on your end. What do you have on the Chargers this week?
Exactly the same. They're +$3.89.
Yeah, they're winning that game. So, I mean, that's easy money right there. The Chargers might be the best team in the AFC. I would love to see a Chargers-Bills game to kind of fight for that crown. It's very clearly them at the top. The Ravens in that mix. It certainly doesn't help the Chiefs that they've lost games to all three of those teams. But Justin Herbert and the Chargers this week, that's my lock of the week.
RJ, as always, outstanding, mate. Stay safe, and we'll speak again next week.
Looking forward to it.
RJ Ochoa there. He is from Blogging the Boys, SB Nation. He's a good one.